Hi everyone, we are starting a new book today, and it's the book of Haggai, and today we'll be reading from chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew and the earth has withheld its produce. And I've called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. So as we start a new book, I think it's important to recognize the context of this book. Now, to best understand this book, I would encourage you to skim through at least, or look up the book of Ezra, because the book of Ezra kind of describes the history here pretty well. So if you remember some of your Old Testament history, Israel had failed to follow God. You know, and as they split into two kingdoms, and you see that in the book of, you know, Kings and Chronicles, like they went through all these different struggles, idolatry and sin, and God forces them into exile. And so here, what happens in Ezra is that the Jews, we find out, the Israelites are allowed to go back. They're allowed to go back into the promised land to rebuild their homes. And so you see that in the book of Ezra. It's like a whole, you know, a whole group of them go. And one of the things they also do is they start rebuilding their homes. They also start to rebuild the temple. And there's this like beautiful scene in Ezra where it's like, oh, they rebuild the foundations of the temple. Like something great is going to happen. But then opposition comes. Some different people try to prevent them from doing it. And so then they stop. They stop trying to rebuild the temple. When it comes to Haggai then, Haggai is speaking to these people, right? He is the prophet speaking to these people who have moved back to this promised land in this time of rebuilding. It's this time of hope. But when we get to this point where Haggai is speaking, this is 18 years later. 18 years later, 18 years after going back to this promised land, you know, rebuilding their lives there, rebuilding themselves as a people, rebuilding the temple, they stopped. For 18 years in touching this temple. They did nothing with that temple. And so this is where God speaks through Haggai to his people. And he says in verse 4, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house, which would be God's house, lies in ruins? Now, paneled houses here, we don't know exactly what that means, but it's pretty clearly having something to do with like luxury or comfort. Now, today we might say, is it time for you to dwell in your comfortable house, your luxurious, nicely decorated, well-stocked house, while God's house is in ruins? Now, like, again, you just got to remember here, the temple was like literally just a foundation. They had given up building it 18 years ago. And what they were doing instead is building up their own houses. And what God is doing here in Haggai, through Haggai, he's calling his people out. In verse 8, he says, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. The people had been busying themselves, just decorating their houses, you know, making their houses more comfortable and nicer. And all the while, they neglected God's house. Now, when we think about this passage for today, it's not very hard at all to apply in our day. Now, we, of course, here, we don't have to think about God's temple anymore. And even, especially now, it's not like we have to worry about a physical sanctuary as we are, you know, quarantining now. But this is, the application is really pretty clear, I think. He said, what is important to our hearts? God, I don't think, cared so much about him having a building here in Haggai. But I think what he was more concerned with is, what was the state of his people's hearts? They were busy with thinking about themselves, building up their own houses. And we think about today then, we live in a day of incredible busyness. And we can find ourselves spending a lot of time doing things that are productive, educational, interesting, cool even. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, are those busy things that we are focused on, are they about God, or are those things about ourselves? Are we busy, are we busying ourselves, distracting ourselves from investing into God's house, into God's kingdom? And with that, what God tells his people here, twice he says in this passage, consider your ways. And I think that's a warning to us. Consider your ways. Think about where your lives are headed. And there's this other warning that comes along with this. God says, if you keep busying yourselves with your own houses and not with mine, you're going to face famine. That's what he tells them straight up. I'm going to withhold rain. You're not going to have crops anymore. You're going to face famine and futility. There's a really great picture here in verse 6 about, planting a lot of seeds but harvesting little, drinking but never feeling quenched, wearing clothes, never feeling warm, earning a lot, but like you never seem to have anything. And these warnings are specific to his people at this time, but I think in some ways it applies to us as well. Because we just think about the busying things of our lives, the things that we're busy with. Do we ever feel satisfied by those things? Do we feel satisfied by our work, our entertainment, our food, our finances, our lives in general? Do we ever feel like we have enough or everything is good enough? And so this is the question that we have to ask ourselves when we read this passage is, what are we busy with? What in our lives and our hearts have we put above God's house, above God's kingdom? We need to consider our ways. And as we consider them, we need to bring our hearts before the Lord. Repent. And we need to desire to do the things of God. He doesn't say it here, but only those things will satisfy. We know that to be true, and yet it's so easy for us to distract ourselves and be busy. Let's pray for hearts. Let's pray for hearts that are at peace, abiding with God, investing into his kingdom, experience the goodness of him. Let me close this in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for these warnings. We thank you for this word. And I pray that you'll help us, God, to stay focused upon you and to love you with all that is in us, God. Forgive us for all these things that we have busied ourselves with. And instead, may we help us to invest into you and to experience the joy and the goodness of investing into your house, into your kingdom, God. Bless us, Lord. Move in our hearts here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.